Hello again, hockey fans. Are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. Of course, Brave the Wild also available on THPN, the Hockey Podcast Network. I thank Dylan and Kyle very, very, very much for being a part of this awesome, awesome network. Really appreciate you guys. So it is a great pleasure to be back and with you once again today. As, well, I'm finally back. Sorry, it's been forever and ever and ever. The Wild did not make a crazy trade like the Timberwolves did for Karl Anthony Towns. So nothing like forced me to come back like that one did for the Timberwolves on Timberwolves Explosion. But, but you know, obviously busy schedule, this and that. But, you know, it is what it is. Busy schedule, kind of locked in, tied up with other things, including the Vikings and such. So it is what it is. But here we are, ready to rock and roll on the eve of the NHL season. This is your Minnesota Wild and National Hockey League season preview for 2024-2025. Also here to announce that, Brave the Wild and the Hockey Podcast Network is switching to a different provider, Believe. So things will be a little bit different. There'll be some, you know, obviously different ads and such. But, of course, our main sponsor still remains DraftKings. So really appreciate that. What's the other thing? Oh, yeah, you won't see the episode number anymore. So how it's like, you know, episode 356, State of the Wild, or what would that have been? Draft and Free Agency Review or whatever. So you won't be seeing the episode number anymore. That's part of the, that's going to be part of the changes with how things are going to go. So just a heads up for you as we switch to Believe. We're going to believe. We're going to don't stop believing at the end of the day. Hopefully the Minnesota Wild aren't going to have to stop believing at the end of the day. Obviously, a lot of young guys are going to have to hold hope again. That not that people get injured or anything, but that roster spots will eventually be there to be had. Conversations, constantly arguments between Michael Russo and Anthony LaPanta about, oh, they have to earn that. Oh, they have to earn it, this and that. And Russo's kind of more like, you know, yeah, I don't know. Like, you're telling me Liam Ogren isn't going to provide more than, say, like a Marcus Johansson. I tend to agree with Michael Russo a bit. So things like that. Obviously, you say, oh, he hasn't beaten him yet. He hasn't proven it yet. It's like, okay. So that's Anthony LaPanta's point of view. LaPanta. But, and then obviously it's a financial thing, which is annoying. And we're kind of stuck with them, this and that. So as of right now, if things change between me talking and the release of this episode, I apologize. But as of right now, your lineup's going into the regular season. Well, according to Daily Faceoff, for some reason they have Rossi up on the top line, though that can happen, and I hope it does. But it's the same tired, broken record of Ryan Hartman, Kirill Kaprizov, and Matt Zuccarello. Otherwise, it could be Marco Rossi. It could be, you know, Rossi. It could be a switch between Rossi and Hartman, between the top line and the third line. I think Hartman is a third line player with talent. I think he's a talented third line center. Is he worth $4 million a year? I don't know. But I don't know. The other guy next to him on the left, but we'll get to that later. But so I guess I'll say Marco Rossi for now as top line, and that'd be totally fine with me. I think the best line overall was Ek, Kaprizov, and Poldy, but I don't know. We're switching things around, moving guys around. What the hell? So Rossi, Zuccarello, Kaprizov. Second line, Jule Eriksson Ek, who might be the MVP on the team overall. Matt Boldy on the right, Marcus Johansson on the left. That is line number two. Matt Boldy, there was a scare a bit where they're saying he was week to week with a lower body injury. Obviously, they're never going to say or elaborate on what lower body injury it is. Be it like bursitis or something, like I went through in my left knee for a while. Thankfully, that's gotten a little better. Thank you, Lord. But who knows? I don't think it's bursitis on a hockey player, but I suppose actually that is possible. Their knees move a lot. But no, it sounds like Boldy's going to be totally fine. He might even, it's one of those things. Like he'll be ready to go for the regular season. So third line, Ryan Hartman, yay, or Marco Rossi. So again, it's interchangeable. Marcus Foligno, my favorite contract on the team by far. Well, it's not my least favorite. There's an even worse one. Oh, yes. And it isn't the guys that were bought out, though those suck too. Yeah, thankfully that's almost over. Marcus Foligno on the left, 4 years, $4 million per. Woo, wonderful. Yakov Trenin isn't a great contract either, but he's a big guy and he's talented and this and that, but he's not that talented. He's physical. That's your third line. Your fourth line, the ever-speedy and good defensive player who's also a really good defensive forward and good in the faceoff circle. Merit Kuznetdinov is your fourth line center, at least the way things appear to be. Jakub Lako apparently has made the team. He's incredibly fast, and that's what's the way it is right now. I guess he's wearing number 94 at the moment. And Frederick Goudreau, the other favorite contract of a lot of people. Not a high amount, but the term stinks, obviously, as we're going to look at the players in the... We're going to look at contracts. We tend to do that very often here. 4 years remaining for Frederick Goudreau at age 31. 2.1 per, all the way up until the end of whatever year it was, 2028. Well, 27-28. Marco Rossi, restricted free agent at the end of the year. Yep. Liam Ogren's on his rookie contract, whatever, entry level. Merit Kuznetdinov, restricted free agent, end of the season. Marcus Johansson, unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. $2 million this year, which isn't that much. I don't think it would kill you to send him to the minors, but then again, maybe it would. Frederick Goudreau is signed until, he signed until the moon starts changing colors. I don't know, I'm just kidding. Yakov Trenin, that's another expensive long-term deal. He is only 27. He can play center. He shoots left, blah, 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 blah. $3.5 million all the way up until 2028. Woohoo, Ryan Hartman. $4 million, I already said that, but yep, 3 years up until the summer of 27. Marcus Foligno, 28. He's 33, he'll be 37 by that stage. 37. Yeah. Anyhow, Matt Zuccarello, 2 years remaining, 4.125. And, yep, 26 is his final season, maybe in the whole league, because he'd be 39. Obviously, ultra-skilled, great passer. Kirill Kaprizov loves him to death and all that, so that's great. The best deal maybe in NHL history? No, it's one of the best deals in Wild history, if not the best right now. 5.25 for 4 years remaining on a guy named Joel Eriksson Ek. That's nice. It's awesome. He'd be an unrestricted free agent after summer of 28. In the summer of 28. Matt Boldy, 7 years. Yeah, 4 years remaining, 7 per. What our friend, what's his name, wanted. So actually, no. This looks weird. Okay, I see what's going on. It's stretched. This is different. It's Puckpedia now instead of, It's Puckpedia instead of cap-friendly, so it looks a little different. Unfortunately, I'm looking at it incorrectly. Matt Boldy's not an unrestricted free agent until 2030, so that is a long time, which is great. Joel Eriksson Ek, not a restricted free agent until 2029. Foligno, 2028. Yeah, so that's just... But no, that is correct, though. Yeah, that is correct. So it is after 28. It's after 28, though. 27-28. So, yes. Ryan Hartman in the summer of 27 becomes a free agent. Totally fine with that. Kirill Kaprizov becomes a free agent in the summer of 26. Though, talk is that we'd like to get this done. Of course, the owner made a statement. That would be Craig Leopold from Wisconsin, of course, making a statement. And, of course, from the Wild owner. Making the statement that nobody's going to offer more or longer term than us for Kirill Kaprizov. Basically, like, back the bleep off, Blackhawks, whoever, people trying to, back channel and such, because that happens in every sport. It's not illegal, but kind of, it's kind of tampering, kind of, sort of, and Leopold's basically like, back the bleep off, here's my nuclear weapon pointed right at your head, don't even think about it, okay? This nuclear warhead is pointed right at your head. Don't even think about it. Kirill is ours, dang it. And I hope so. Rumors about, Kirill would love to play in Chicago. Well, okay. I'm sure other players would love to play in Chicago. It's a historic team. Original Six. Patrick Kane played there, as did Bobby Hull, as did Esposito. You could go on forever. So, obviously, Ed Belfour, Chris Chelios, Jeremy Roenick. Yep, interesting guy. Nothing against him. He's just an interesting guy. That's all. Jeremy Roenick. Yeah. So anyhow, yep. Maybe my least favorite contract on the team, considering all the restrictions at age 34. an old 34, in my opinion. Jared Spurgeon, 7.5, 75. 3 years remaining, he's an unrestricted free agent in the summer of 27. Jonas Brodin is an unrestricted free agent in the summer of 28. $6 million per all the way up till then, 4 years remaining. Jacob Middleton, unrestricted free agent in 2029. He signed that contract in the offseason here, going from 2.45 to 4.35. That's a big raise for Jacob Middleton. Love to have him, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of crazy. That's why I added the Russo sound effect of saying, like, what the bleep. Yeah, it's a little weird. Zach Bogosian, 1.25. He got that contract extension, 2 years, summer of 26 is when he'll be a free agent. Declan Chrisom, 1 year, $1 million for Declan Chrisom. Not Declan Goff of Score North, but Declan Chrisom. Yeah, I know, I like to say that. He's a UFA Group 6, which is interesting, obviously. When a contract ends, thank you, Puckpedia. Actually, they are good. I mean, thank you, Puckpedia, for existing. Really, I'm dead serious, so losing a cap-friendly sucked. Thank you, Washington Capitals. Crapitals. I don't even like your team or franchise at all. Go Vegas Golden Knights in 18, sorry. When a contract ends with restricted free agency, RFA, status, that player becomes a Group 6 unrestricted free agent if several conditions are met. Okay. Yeah, a Group 6 free agent. More info, please. Okay. Okay, players must be 25 years or older when their existing contract ends. Age is calculated on June 30th of the expiring contract year. To be a Group 6 UFA eligible player, must have played less than 80 career NHL games. Huh. For goalies, it's only 28 with more than 30 minutes of ice time. Interesting. Ah, it's very interesting, man. That's a lot of stuff. Huh. Group 6 free agent, huh? So it's kind of like younger guys that have played X amount of this and done a bit of that that probably aren't, haven't signed a big contract yet. That's kind of what it is. So kind of sort of sounds like Declan Chrisom in a lot of ways. This guy named Brock Faber, yeah, he signed a massive contract extension up until 2033. 8.5 per. He'll be making 925 this year. 925,000, that is. That'd be Brock Faber at age 22. Heck of a lot younger than these other guys, except for Chrisom was only 24. Middleton is 28. Brodin is 31. Da 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 da. But yeah, Faber, yeah, massive contract extension up until 2023. $8.5 million per, the highest paid defenseman in Wild history. Jared Spurgeon, I'm not thrilled about the contract. Still there, still lurking until 27. It's like there was years ago, it was talking about him being traded to the Oilers, and he's from Edmonton. I'm sure the Oilers would love to have him, and maybe he could hoist a Stanley Cup or something if he went there. But I don't know, I guess if he's going to hoist a Stanley Cup, it has to be here. So, and he would be the first guy to receive the cup because, well, he's the team captain. Yeah, he's the team captain. anyhow, Philip Gustafsson, we're at the goaltenders now, at least guys that are currently on the NHL lineup at the very least. Philip Gustafsson, 3.75, all the way up until the summer of 26. Marc-Andre Fleury is on a non-farewell tour, farewell tour at age 39. $2.5 million, unrestricted free agent, and probably off into the sunset to back to Montreal or sticking around in this organization. Apparently, a lot of people inside the organization, as they like to call it in the NHL, would like to keep Marc-Andre Fleury around. So, yes, buyout retained. This is the last of the cap crap, like the heavy-hitting cap crap from Parisi Suter. 7.371795, yes. A lot of numbers there, you know, and so almost $15 million hitting the books this week, or this year, excuse me, and then after that, it is 833,333 for three more years after that, which is a total of 1 point. This is a lot of sixes, so million. Yeah, it's a double devil, 666 and 666, with the two up until the summer of 28. Then the cap crap from Parisi Suter at age 44 for Parisi and 43 for Suter. But obviously they'll be done playing by then. But buyouts go on forever, especially guys by the name of Bobby Bonilla. It's like a buyout that's lasted for like forever. I think he's almost 60 years old now. It's kind of funny. From the New York Mets. I talk about Bobby Bonilla once in a while on this podcast because of buyouts, but that's about what things would turn, what would happen if the Wild were to buy out like Freddie Goudreau or something. It'd go on forever, and he'd be getting little, he'd be getting checks for the rest of his life. It's funny, right? Okay, we'll move on. Yes, I know people don't always like the cap stuff, but sometimes they do. Sometimes it's an interesting conversation to see kind of where all the players are at going into the regular season. So looking forward, of course, obviously you have prospects in the system that are extremely exciting going forward. We've heard comparisons of Zeke Bouillon to Luke Hughes, so that's a massive, that is a really nice comp, as the kids like to say, comp, comparison. Very exciting comp, Zeke Bouillon possibly to Luke Hughes. So that'd be an awesome one if that ends up taking place. Obviously the star defenseman of the Vancouver Canucks. So that would be great. Brock Faber, obviously a lot of us saw him as this stud, you know, stalwart defensive, maybe like a Willie Mitchell, but like a better version kind of guy who just really knows how to play defense, and maybe he'll chip in offensively. And he chipped in offensively. He's one of the best on the entire team, if not the best. I mean, I was already at the end of the season calling Brock Faber the best defenseman in Wild history. So, I mean, and I didn't feel weird saying it, like, oh, I hope people aren't going to laugh at me for that. I don't think a whole lot of people were. Damon Hunt, obviously knocking on the door. I think he should be in the NHL. Obviously a great camp. Very strong season last year in Iowa. Decent showing in the National Hockey League last year as well when he had the small little cups of coffee. But the thing is, Damon Hunt either is like the stud defenseman in Iowa or stuck as a seventh defenseman rotting in the press box half of the season. So it's kind of like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's really frustrating. You know, I love Zach Bogosian. I love him, but maybe, or even Krista, maybe you should have, I don't know. Maybe you should have, you know, nudge. I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't have signed one of those guys. But obviously, Bogosian's the one that's officially in the way of Damon Hunt, at least in terms of, like, positioning. John Merrill is the perfect seventh defenseman in terms of, like, well, I don't want him necessarily. But, yeah, you could, I suppose you could have Zach Bogosian or Chrisom in the press box if you want Damon Hunt to be more of a full-time NHLer, which still could happen. And the other scenario would be John Merrill possibly going to the AHL. Ongoing conversation with the goalies. Obviously, Philip Gustafson's still here, though there have been weird issues with Swayman in Boston, where maybe Philip Gustafson could wind up in a trade to the Boston Bruins at some point in the regular season, depending on Jesper Wallstedt or Wallstedt. I guess it's Jesper Wallstedt, I guess we'll go with for now, until it changes again, depending on how he shows. This and that. There have been conversations, obviously, ongoing. You've heard this probably 50 times in other shows, because I'm sure this isn't the only Wild show you listen to. But, yeah. Obviously, and of course, there's a really damn good one recording this same weekend. That would be Crease and Assist, Derek Felska. Yep. Derek Felska, Teresa Ferries, and Kalisha Townsville. What a great show, obviously, and a great writer, great football coach, defensive line. Lives in Western Wisconsin, but a full-blooded Minnesotan, but, his job, his career is in Western Wisconsin, so that would be Derek Felska, of course. Crease and Assist, Crease Assist podcast, hashtag Crease Assist. So, where are we going here? Yeah, the goalie situation, bringing three goalies into the season. At least that's been the ongoing conversation. Will that change at the last minute? Or a change like two or three games in or something? Might have to. Otherwise, you have Wallstedt kind of in and out, maybe playing every 7 days or so, which is kind of weird, rather than playing significant minutes between the pipes in Iwija. Fleury is what he is. He's, at this point, I'd call him a backup goalie. Philip Gustafson is a spots, he's like a borderline starter goalie, starting goalie. He's definitely not AHL goalie, borderline starter, but when he's at his best, he's great. Sometimes he's not. The good news is he's in much better shape than he has been in the past. That's what we've been hearing everywhere you turn, that Philip Gustafson is in way better shape than he has been in the past. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. I was always a supporter of the possibility of, like, say, Fleury moves on, and then you have Gustafsson and Wallstedt together, which wouldn't be the end of the world. They could either platoon or say Gustafsson's a really good backup to Wallstedt, or Wallstedt starts off as a really good backup and then eventually takes over. That's kind of how I always saw things. I didn't necessarily see the Wild re-signing Fleury at the time, but, well, they did. So that's kind of how that goes. That is kind of how I saw things, though. Wallstedt, we'll see. Wallstedt. Jesper Wallstedt. Defense, of course, Brock Faber, Jonas Brodin. Yes, sir. Elite pairing. Faber's capable of playing on the power play and being damn good at it. First power play unit right now does have Brock Faber there at the moment with Ek, Kaprizov, Boldy. Yep, I mean, great. Obviously, Zuccarello, he's a power play ace, but he doesn't do a hell of a lot else in the 5-on-5. Second power play unit does have Declan Chrisom in, also there. And Declan Chrisom is a nice second power play unit type of guy. And I think in the future, not too distant future, maybe you'll see Faber on the second unit and Bouillon on the top unit, but probably starting off, Bouillon will be on the second unit. That'd be Zeev Bouillon, who's, you know, going to be taking a spot here, which is a lot of reason why Chrisom is signed to a one-year deal. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's like you want to, you know, you like Chrisom, but how much do you like him? That kind of thing. I mean, it's another franchise-level defenseman possibly joining the team here. So it's going to be something. But it's exciting, though. You consider both Faber and Bouillon could be on each, you know, you could have one on each power play unit. That is exciting. Some of these, right now they're having Goudreau on the power play unit. They got to be, I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think he's more of a penalty killer, isn't he? Penalty kill unit, first unit, Ek, Foligno, Brodin, Faber. No problem there. Faber's going to get lots of minutes. Second penalty kill. Yep, Maritus and Dinoff, Goudreau. Yep, so there he is. Jacob Middleton and Jared Spurgeon. So, yes, day-to-day with Middleton and Boldy at the moment with injuries. So that's another conversation that is ongoing. My apologies here. So, yep, second pairing. And I think, yeah, this is a better second pairing. This was the top pairing once upon a time. Before it was, what, Dumba with Brodin? Man, Faber and Brodin or Dumba and Brodin? I'm telling you, sorry to all the Dumba fans, but, I mean, he can't even. Spurgeon, Middleton, I mean, I can't even consider that as a top pairing. I mean, even, you know, I can't. They're good. They're fine. But a second pairing, sure. Spurgeon right, Middleton left. Third pairing, Bogosian and Chrisom at the moment. We'll see how things go with the Hunt. Will Hunt be in the Hunt? Damon Hunt. Will he be in the Hunt? Okay, that was cute. And then John Merrill's kind of the, you know, popcorn maker, press box popcorn maker kind of guy. You know, he's making popcorn up there. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. You did a really good job on this one. Thanks. Lots of butter and salt. Delicious. Okay, I already talked about the top line. I think I already talked about all the, I already talked about the actual lines, but I don't think I really mentioned the pairings. If I did already, I apologize. So I'm repeating myself a bit. Obviously, a lot of us very excited about the upcoming season opener with the Columbus Blue Jackets, but then, of course, something terrible happens. Kind of like with, unfortunately, the Vikings' nice cornerback we took in the draft, Kyrie Jackson, tragically dying because of someone else. Not because of him, but because of someone else on the road. Yeah, exactly. Freddie Goudreau, Matthew Goudreau, tragically dying because of someone else. Exactly. Biking and getting mowed over. So I never officially talked about this, because I haven't done a show in forever, so, oh, man, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in fan interaction as well. There'll be some responses there, but this is my initial response. Just obviously devastating, really sad, self-centered people, you know, I don't know, like you always say, okay, get an Uber, blah, 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 taxi and Uber, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, I'm kind of the type, like, why do you, if you're going to drink at home. If you're going to drink heavily, like to a point like that, drink at home. I don't know. But maybe I'm just an ultra conservative, I guess, in a lot of ways, and I don't drink heavily either. So I simply can't relate to those kind of people. So not trying to make it about me. I apologize if it sounds like that deeply. I'm really not. Goudreau's obviously just it's really sad. You're sad for the Columbus Blue Jackets. You're sad for the teammates. You're sad for Dean Evason. You know, I mean, that's a nice player he could have had. And, of course, you're much more sad than anything else for the human beings involved. Obviously, the teammates are friends, you know. It's like a family. You're together, you know, so many months a year, you know, like 9 months. All those road trips and even being at home and, you know, the practices and, you know, teasing each other and, you know, having fun and, I don't know, maybe cursing each other out in a playful way, like Australians or whatever. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, it's really, really damn sad. It really is. Columbus Blue Jackets, an organization that's been, you know, I don't know, they've been through a lot in terms of, like, they've struggled. They've struggled to have playoff success or anything, and they had this wonderful player, and then this tragedy happens a year after they get him. So, terrible. From the Calgary Flames, of course. Lots of thoughts on the Fireside Chat. That's a podcast that does the Calgary Flames. So, obviously, because Goodrow was there for so long, I just said Freddie, didn't I? Jonathan Goodrow. Did I say Freddie this whole time? Yeah, of course I did. So, I apologize. Johnny Goodrow. I called him Freddie, didn't I, the whole time. So, my apologies. I hope you knew who I meant. Johnny Hockey. Obviously, terrible tragedy, to say the least. I think I've said enough now. Put my foot in my mouth enough here. We'll give both of Freddie again, Jonathan and Matthew, a moment of silence. So, yes, deeply, deeply, you know, saddened by that news, to say the least. With that said, am I optimistic about this team going forward into the division and such? I think this team, you know, obviously health is number one. It always is. You know, like losing players for a long period of time is a huge thing. Jared Spurgeon being out didn't help. I don't think he's this, you know, can't-miss player like he once was. I just don't see him that way anymore, but I'm sure he'll be a nice boost. He'll be better than, like, you know, an alternative, possibly, at the end of the day, like, say, a minor league defenseman. But then again, if that minor league defenseman is now, you know, pro-worthy and deserves to be here like Damon Hunt, so be it. Again, I deeply apologize. I think I kept calling him Freddie Goodrow. It's Jonathan Goodrow. Johnny Hockey, come on. So my apologies in a big way. A couple final thoughts. Obviously, prospect players that I wish could be here. Obviously, you know, Liam Ugrin, I thought for sure that there's a good chance, but of course, we're still stuck with Marcus Johansson. Don't be surprised, I guess, if there's some type of trade at some point, or like an outright release, if Marcus Johansson doesn't perform. That's been the conversation. Like, guys don't perform, something's got to happen. People like Trennan and Lauko, we'll see what happens. I'm not overly excited about Lauko necessarily, though a lot of people are. They see him as a good player. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Jakub Lauko at the end of the day. Obviously, there's something there. Did have 10. Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much been a career minor leaguer. God bless him. He's not getting any younger either, necessarily. But he's not that old either. What is he, 24? So, there's still something. Third-round pick by the Bruins, 10 points last season. So, we'll see. He's one of those kind of guys. But they like his skating, they like his ability, and I guess if he earns the spot, so be it. And you do not want Liam Ugrin on the fourth line, where Jakub Lauko can fit right in on that fourth line. So, that's the conversation. It's all about, you know, Marcus Johansson. Liam Ugrin needs to beat Marcus Johansson, and looking forward to that happening. Absolutely looking forward to that happening at some point. Eventually, you're going to be talking about, you know, the likes of bigger prospects coming in. Liam Ugrin's a pretty big one. He's a high first-round pick. But, of course, Danila Yurov eventually, possibly as soon as the end of the season, and Ziya Buyum on the defenseman side. So that's kind of what we're looking forward to as the season progresses. Guys like Damon Hunt, Liam Ugrin, getting into the lineup and staying there at some point, hopefully during the course of the season. So I'd like to believe they will. Fan interaction, obviously, is going to be a huge part of this show in the third segment. Second segment, of course, we're going to talk about previewing the NHL season, how teams are going to do, how far they're going to get. So who's going to get to the conference finals and such in the Stanley Cup final and win the Stanley Cup. Though I did give a hint at the end of the Cup final who I think is going to win. You probably already know, some of you, others that might be new to this show. And welcome aboard, by the way, if you happen to be listening for the first time. Yeah, Yep, you'll hear who I'm going to pick to win the Stanley Cup in the second segment. I know you're at the edge of your seat, right? Ooh, Joey's going to pick it. Again, apologize. I kept saying Freddie Goudreau. I know, it's just Freddie. He's on your mind every second with the Wild. And it's Johnny Goudreau. So my deep apologies for that. It's kind of silly, but that's how it goes sometimes, I guess. We're all capable of doing things like that. Another guy who's capable of cracking the lineup during the course of the season for, you know, maybe for like a short-term thing, and has been a really nice addition so far, is Graham Clark. Graham Clark, spelled very differently than what you think of a name Graham. G-R-A-E-M-E, not like that with the H and all that, but G-R-A-H-M, maybe Clark, something like that. But he's been more productive in the AHL than Adam Beckman was, and they were taken in the third round of the same year, same type of player, skilled type of player, and you know, they looked very exciting coming in, and ultimately have not cracked the NHL much yet so far, just kind of bits and pieces, cups of coffees, 3 cups of coffee for Graham Clark last year with the New Jersey Devils. And obviously Beckman's had a few games at the Wild, but nothing too exciting. I think he had 1 assist from behind the net at one point, so good for him. Adam Beckman, we'll see how he does in New Jersey. We'll talk about him maybe as the year progresses. So that should be about how we're looking at the preview and such, and looking at going into the regular season. The Wild will make the postseason, in my humble opinion, but like a wild card, like a 7th, 8th seed. Fighting with Winnipeg, I think both of us make it at the end of the day right now. But it's between Minnesota, Vancouver, you know, Winnipeg, and maybe the Utah Hockey Club. That might be the other one that's going to be kind of an up-and-coming team here. So that's probably what we're looking at, competing for a playoff berth. What happens after that, I'm not all too confident yet that the Wild pull off any crazy upset. But I guess anything's possible if Wallstedt gets hot. Maybe Ziv Buoyim comes in and it's like, you know, things just catch fire here. And I hope they do. I hope the Wild do want to play a run. Obviously, guys like Kaprizov, Rossi, Ek, maybe Liam Ugrin's here by then. The Wild have moved on from Marcus Johansson. So we'll see how that goes. Guys stay healthy enough that this team can compete, maybe even be a division leader. Surprise a couple people. Get past a Nashville type of team who invested a lot of the free agents in the offseason. So that's kind of what we're looking at going into this regular season with the Minnesota Wild. With that, we'll take a quick break and get to segment number 2 after a word from our sponsors. The quest for the Stanley Cup starts now. The puck's dropping on the 24-25 season. Get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something like picking a team to win. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. So, upcoming games here as the regular season is finally starting. Isn't it classic and cool? First ever game for the Utah Hockey Club. What do you think of that? So, we're going to look at the money line on these. So, the Utah Hockey Club is hosting the Blackhawks. That's a nice way to start things out, I suppose. Utah Hockey Club or Yeti or whatever, minus 180. The Chicago Blackhawks are plus 150. Again, they're visiting. Original six matchup, Canadiens hosting the Toronto Maple Leafs. Montreal plus 145. Toronto minus 175. Penguins and Rangers, old bitter rivals. Penguins are the host, minus 102. Rangers minus 118. Great matchup recently and for a few years now. The Vegas Golden Knights hosting the Colorado Avalanche. These are on, So the first one was Tuesday. The last two were Wednesday. Vegas Golden Knights minus 118. Colorado Avalanche minus 102. The Edmonton Oilers heavily favored over the Winnipeg Jets hosting the game minus 170. Winnipeg plus 142. The Minnesota Wild opener. Hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Wild are a minus 218 at XL Energy Center on Thursday. Wow. Columbus Blue Jackets plus 180. So that's an interesting matchup to say the least. So, yes, those are the upcoming games that I would, I recommend at least looking into. Obviously, important to the listeners, I'm sure, that are big hockey fans and, of course, Minnesota Wild fans. If you are new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Here on Brave the Wild, segment number two, time to preview things in terms of the NHL, like looking at who's going to win the cup and all that. So where are we going to head into that in the Wild and all that, their postseason hopes, first round exits and all that? That's probably where we're headed and all of that. So I don't know, like Eastern Conference, you're looking at teams like Buffalo, Ottawa, you know, Detroit, teams all trying to knock on the door to make the postseason. Florida's, of course, the defending Stanley Cup champion. Toronto's always talented, but you just never know. You know, I mean, Toronto's like a little, Toronto's like a believe it when you see it type of a team. Tampa Bay, you know, they were winning championships. Now I'm not so sure they're going to be winning cups anymore, at least not right now. But, of course, they did make a nice addition in the offseason. So, yeah, there is that conversation, obviously. Yeah, well, you know, obviously young Gensel there. Well, not so young anymore. He's already like 30, which is crazy. Boston, like losing Swayman. I don't know what the heck they're thinking. Maybe a possible destination for Gustafson. Montreal, you know, Montreal, what are they ever going to do? Islanders, you know, they're up and down. When they're good, they're good. When they're not, they're not. New York Rangers, obviously a very well-run organization, as they'd say in Canada, but very well-run organization one way or another. Pittsburgh, aging stars, this and that. Long removed from Stanley Cups. Kind of like how Tampa is. Like, Tampa's like a more recent version. Like, Pittsburgh's like a long, like, okay, it's like way long gone type of version. Philadelphia, they're well coached. Even though the guy's crazy, he has a shelf life. That would, of course, being Tortorella. Columbus, well, Dean Evason, yep. Congratulations to Dean Evason once again and all of that. Of course, disaster striking in the offseason. Terrible, terrible disaster there, of course, with the Goudreau brothers. Yes, awful story. Awful, 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 beyond awful story. Carolina is kind of like what the San Jose Sharks used to be in a lot of ways. Of course, Brent Burns, sorry to say that, but they kind of are. A team that's always in the mix, always deserves to be talked about in Stanley Cup contention, but are they ever going to win it? Are they ever going to win it? Are they ever going to get back to the Cup Final? I don't know. Washington, they had their one and done year, and good riddance, I don't care. I don't really like the Washington Capitals very much, but, they did make some, they did add some players in the offseason, and they even got Brandon Duhaim. Yay, good for him. And New Jersey, what an awful disappointment last year after jumping up really nicely. Terrible preseason for them as well. Wild, of course, having an awesome preseason, but where do you go with that? Western and Bestern or whatever, Western Conference, Dallas Stars have a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Final. They have a chance to win it, of course. I think they're very much in the mix. The Wild are what they are. Yep, that's segment number one, of course. Utah somethings, the Utah Hockey Club, the Utah Yeti. I'm going to stick with Yeti for now. That's kind of what I'm looking for, kind of what I'm hoping for. And I think it'd be a good name, but other people hate it. You know, it's nobody's going to agree on everything. I at first thought Minnesota Wild was a cool name, especially getting the green color. Over time, people just, I don't know, a lot of people never liked the name, never appreciated it. Some people think the logo is the most creative thing ever. Other people think the logo sucks. I don't think the Wild logo sucks. I think it's pretty damn good. Winnipeg Jets, well, they look like Labatt Blue, but obviously a talented team. But they've been kind of hit and miss historically. One year they're really good, the next year they're not. And I don't know, it's weird. And the Wild kind of split with them every year. Nashville Predators added a ton of players in the offseason, of course, tons of talent. But will Andrew Brunette get them all to perform, perform at their peak? Obviously, Andrew Brunette's very capable of doing that. Wouldn't be surprised if the Nashville Predators had a very successful regular season, like well over triple digits in points, I think. I think there's a pretty good chance of that, actually. Dallas Stars, absolutely. I think Dallas and Nashville and Colorado are kind of like your big boys in this division. You want to say Winnipeg, but I think Winnipeg and Minnesota are kind of 4-5. Colorado, obviously, is a great, great franchise. Obviously, I can't stand them. I can't stand the Colorado Avalanche, similar to the Denver Nuggets. Arguably worse because, they're like championships aren't as rare with the Colorado Avalanche versus the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets got it once. I mean, it happened once. They're kind of like the St. Louis Blues in a lot of ways. In terms of history, maybe some good teams, but nothing to say for it. But, of course, Denver only went to the NBA Finals once and they won it. St. Louis Blues lost twice way back in the beginning of the franchise against the Boston Bruins, and then many bajillion years later, 50 years later, they beat the Bruins in 7 games. We all remember that in 2019, the last, for some of us, you could say, for a lot of us, the last normal year, I guess, semi-normal year, if normal is a thing in this world. Chicago Blackhawks are, I don't know, some of us think they're light years away. Other people think they're, I think they're light years away. They stink. I don't know. Colorado's a cup contender. Dallas is a cup contender. Nashville is not a cup contender, but they're a contender. We'll call them that. Pacific Division, Calgary Flames. I don't know, man. Are they ever going to get it right? I don't know. God. They're like a worse version of the Wild in a lot of ways where, they're much worse. They're very inconsistent. One year they're super good, and then they're giving up 9 goals to the Edmonton Oilers, and next thing you know, Los Angeles Kings could be a contender, and they could be out of the playoffs. They're all over the place. Obviously, Kevin Fiala's a stud. We all appreciate his talent. Wouldn't mind having him here in Minnesota, but, we have Matt Boldy instead. That's literally what the decision was. So, I mean, what are you going to do about that? Vancouver Canucks, another team, another one where they could be gold and they could be garbage, as a old Vikings tight end, Jermaine Wiggins once said back in the day. It could be gold and could be garbage. Anaheim, I think, is garbage still at this point. And yes, Jermaine Wiggins was from Boston. He didn't just play there. He was from there. Boston, like New England Patriots. Anaheim, I just don't think they're ready to compete. I think they're going to be one of the bottom feeders in the Western Conference, Pacific Division, all that cute stuff. Vegas Golden Knights, I think, are competitive every year. Obviously, nice additions all the time. Are they ever going to actually have a draft class? I don't know. I mean, it's kind of funky and kind of funny. I'm obviously a big fan of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm one of us. There's about 3 of us out there outside of Las Vegas. Obviously, the people in Vegas love him very much. Obviously, Jack Eichel, that was a great addition. Victor Olofsson on one side. Mark Stone, obviously the captain. What he's done over the years is very notable, obviously. Aiden Hill did a hell of a job as the goaltender to lead them to a cup. But, yes, it's a team, obviously, that's, you either love them or you hate them, I guess. I like the Golden Knights. I do. Maybe I don't love them, but I like them. I'm a fan, so to speak. But that doesn't mean, I pick the Golden Knights over the Wild. Of course not. Just saying, I don't know. I like that Vegas is in the NHL. I like their uniforms and all that. And I like a lot of the players on the team, too. So, I mean, I do. Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, well, Edmonton Oilers. Yeah. Have you heard of the 80s Oilers, ladies and gentlemen? No, they're not quite that good. But Edmonton Oilers, I have high hopes. Nudge, nudge. Seattle Seahawks, no, Seattle, whatever the heck they are. Serpents, Seattle Kraken, major disappointment last year. I don't know what to think about the Seattle Kraken. I actually had them in the Western Conference Final last year. in my predictions, which is kind of funny considering they didn't even make the playoffs. So I don't know. They could be knocking on the door, but I'm not really sure. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. So let's just leave it at that. Calgary, God, the Pacific Division's all over the place. Vegas and Edmonton are going to the playoffs. Yes. And then it's between like LA, Vancouver, and Calgary, I guess. I mean, Calgary should be in the mix for something. I mean, there's some players there. Sometimes you forget who's there because people leave, and obviously they got rid of the, you know, they got rid of the crazy guy from Viking Alberta. Now they have Dustin Wolf as a starting goalie. You got Kadri was, mediocre. Last year, Uyghur, obviously a great addition, but generally speaking, this team grossly underachieved last year. I mean, awful. Another team I've been a fan of forever, actually, way before the Golden Knights. They were kind of like a second favorite team behind the North Stars. It was like the North Stars, the Whalers, and the Flames. And Whalers obviously no longer exist. They're Carolina. And then you have, of course, the North Stars are the Dallas Stars of all teams. Probably our least favorite team around here. I mean, gosh, I think we like them even less than the Chicago Blackhawks, even though that rivalry was pretty intense with the North Stars back in the day. And they were definitely bullies to the Wild during their cup runs. Calgary, it'd be cool to see them go to on a cup run, but I don't think they have it. I just don't think it's there. Dustin Wolf, we'll see, but I don't know. I kind of go into random teams here, I'm sorry. Certain teams like Calgary, I don't know. I don't think they're going to make it. Sorry, but I guess LA, I guess the Kings. Some people have them missing, but I guess I have them as a third place team. Edmonton first, Vegas second, Los Angeles third. Wild cards, obviously, well, probably Winnipeg and Minnesota. I think Winnipeg and Minnesota make the playoffs. Minnesota Wild do make the playoffs. The rest of the teams like Vancouver and such, they might make it. We'll see. They might knock us out. They might knock Winnipeg out. Maybe Nashville's a massive bust, but I have Nashville finishing third behind the Stars and the Colorado Avalanche. So those are your eight seeds in the Western Conference. I should probably have gone back to the East to actually talk about who I think is going to make it over there. Oh, boy. Well, New York Rangers, yes. They're going to... The Metropolitan Division Rangers, yes. Oh, God. Carolina is going to... Yeah, they're going to be a division leader. I mean, that's kind of a given. After that, it's like, who the hell knows? I mean, you'd think, Washington, I don't know about that. Columbus, I mean, I can't imagine the vibes are real happy there. I'm sorry, Dean. I really am, Dean. What an awful circumstance. Just awful. Awful. And I'm not, it breaks your heart, too. Really does. But the Rangers and Carolina are shoo-ins in the Metropolitan Division. I don't know. I'm just a fan. New York Islanders, third. Yes, New York Islanders third. Come back to the Atlantic now. Florida, yes. Florida is going to make it for sure. Boston, I have no idea because the goaltending situation is kind of weird right now. I don't know. Just mishandled. They screwed up. I guess Swayman's there, but I don't know. But he's not. He is. It's been kind of a back and forth. Elias Lindholm, that's an extremely talented. Yeah, they're going to make the frickin' playoffs, and they are going to be a division leader. So I'd be an idiot to say no. Yeah, they're still going to do it. They're still going to make the playoffs. They'll figure out something. I mean, they know what they're doing over there in Boston, even though they don't know what they're doing. Florida and Boston for sure. I'm kind of a Detroit fan lately. Kind of am. I think Detroit. Detroit's going to be third. Detroit is going to be third place. No, Toronto. Stupid. Toronto. I'm looking at the wrong division here. My brain's Detroit's there, but I'm in Toronto. Hello. Florida wins the division. I think they're going to have one of the best records in the league next year. I don't think there's any doubt. They're going to have one of the best records in the league next year. That doesn't mean they're going to win the cup, but they will be very much in the mix. Toronto is going to be in the mix, but I don't know. Boston, Toronto, it's going to be Boston over Toronto for the 950th time. Historically, even if Toronto has home ice, like it seems like home ice doesn't even matter. Like, how many teams lose game sevens at home these days? It's weird. That used to never happen, ever. So Florida first, Toronto second, Boston third. But Boston beats Toronto out in the first round. Detroit will be one of the wild cards. The other one is going to be, I want to say Columbus, but how can I? Maybe New Jersey gets their heads out of somewhere because there's a ton of talent in New Jersey. I mean, there is a lot of talent in New Jersey. I just don't know why they're so devilishly awful. They did get Jacob Markstrom, so yes, wild card. Wild card for the New Jersey Devils. Surely they're going to turn their butts around. They even have Timo Meier, obviously, great addition. New Jersey makes the playoffs. So the conference finals, the conference teams are going to be the Florida Panthers, the defending cup champions against the New York Rangers. That's right. The Western Conference is going to be the Edmonton Oilers, shocker, right? Versus the, I think it's going to be, I kept going back and forth with Colorado and Dallas. It's so hard. Dallas Stars. I think it's going to be a rematch. Of last year's Western Conference Finals. Yep. In the East, the New York Rangers win the East. Am I happy about it? No, I do not like the Rangers. I'm an Islanders fan between those two for so many reasons. Not just because I'm an Islanders fan. Yeah, no, I like the Islanders, sure. It doesn't mean I'm a giant fan and I have like jerseys and stuff and shirts and hats. And no, I don't have one thing of the Islanders necessarily, but well, actually I don't. But I think I have a hockey puck. Yeah, I have a hockey puck. So I do have one piece of merchandise, but it was used and old and stuff. But yeah, obviously a great, great, great story back in the early 80s. Yes. The Rangers are the better team right now. Great organization, as they say. They're going to the Cup Final, and they will play against the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup Final. Finals. And as I predicted at the end of the season last year, like 5 seconds after Game 7, the Edmonton Oilers win their Stanley Cup for the first time since 1990. They win their sixth Stanley Cup in franchise history. Marc Messier won 5 of them. Gretzky won 4 of them with Messier and Curry and all them. Yari Curry and, you know, Paul freaking Coffey. Just what a stacked, gorgeous team. You know, guys like, obviously, Grant Fuhr, Bill Rainford. We'll hear about all of them. But Edmonton Oilers win the Cup this year over the New York Rangers. In my humble opinion, the Utah Yeti, the Utah Hockey Club, do not make the postseason. Some people think they will. They're going to be better. Oh, yeah. I think they'll be in the hunt, as they say, the hunt. They'll be like in the top 10, 11-ish, battling with Minnesota, Winnipeg. St. Louis is not making it. They stink now. Vancouver is probably the other one. Calgary should be somewhere around there. But, yes, obviously, two teams are going to get the wild card and the other ones aren't. Utah, I think, misses the playoffs. I think the Wild make it, but, you know, it's going to be the usual sad swan song in the first round until otherwise. Go ahead and prove me wrong, damn it. I mean, I picked the Wild going to the Western Conference Finals before, and I don't know. I look like a freaking homer doing that. So that's kind of how that goes. Yeah, well, anyhow, that's kind of where I stand. Edmonton Oilers win the Stanley Cup in 2025. Congratulations in advance. And if they don't, well, I don't know. I think they will. That's all. I'm just going to leave it as is. With that said, we'll take a quick break and hear from you guys in fan interaction. What do you think of that? This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's something you'd love to learn? As an adult, do you make time to learn new things as often as you'd like? Or was that lost in childhood? Kids are always learning and growing, but as adults, sometimes we lose that curiosity. What's something you'd like to learn? Gardening, a new language, or maybe how to finally beat your best friend in bowling? Therapy can help you reconnect with your sense of wonder because your back-to-school era can come at any age. If you've benefited from therapy, feel free to share your experience. Whether or not you've been in therapy personally, talk about the broader benefits in your own words. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/THPN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/THPN. And we are back here on Brave the Wild, segment number three. Time to hear from you guys out there in the Twitterverse, as we like to call it, or the X-verse. X-verse actually sounds better, doesn't it? So a bit of catching up to do, but that's just how that's to be expected at the end of the day when it's been a while. So, but we'll do our best here on Brave the Wild. Derek Felska saying, yes, this is a poll that was kind of created by Derek Felska, the host and creator of Crease and Assist, or the Crease Assist podcast. If the Wild cannot find top nine ice time for forwards Merritt, Husnadinov, and or Liam Ugrin, would they be better off playing in all situations in Iowa, similar to what they did with Rossi? Yes or no? Yes, one in a landslide, 70.8 to no, 21.5. Send back to Europe, 7.7. Oof, send back to Europe. Yikes, absolute yikes. So yeah, there was a memory of the Wild signing Parisian Suter. I don't know. I was like, yep, and they said, what words would you say when you, what words would describe your feelings? At the time, I said excitement at the time, disappointment for years and years after. Yep. Dean Evason seeking revenge in return to Minnesota. They fired me last year. Or they just fired me. Yep, so that's interesting. Like Mike Zimmer. Hell no, they just got me fired. Derek says, let him seek revenge. We play them twice in almost any season unless somehow they both reach the Stanley Cup Finals. Since He's been one and done. Evason throughout most of his professional coaching career. We will have to settle for the two games to embarrass his ass, pretty much. And now, obviously, the circumstances after that. Yeah, Mosey said he respects Dean. Respects Dean. He has his flaws, but his intensity for the game was unmatched. Wish him the best. Derek says to each their own, but his intensity only got the Wild tuned out by NHL officials. Yeah, I don't think he was adaptable. And his avoidance of practice didn't do the team any favors in its execution and special teams. Yep. So I get those feelings. Probably more on Derek's side there. Not just because Derek's a good friend, but yeah. But yes, he is. But that's not the only reason. Next poll from the Crease Assist. Right on my birthday, July 29th, they turned 45. That's right, 45. Yeah. Anyhow. There I go, making it about myself again. Yikes. With the 24-25 roster, more or less set. Yay, right? Are the Minnesota Wild moving in the right direction, meaning they are progressively moving progressively towards being a Stanley Cup contender, or are they not? The right direction, the wrong direction, maybe yes, maybe no. Too early to tell. I selected maybe yes, maybe no, and that did win, 36.5. Second place was the right direction. Interesting, 23%. The wrong direction, one got third place by a 0.4 margin, 20.4, and then too early to tell, 20%. Yep. So, yes, I shared that Michael Russo's tweet that Brock Faber has signed the largest extension in franchise history, 8 years, $68 million for the Athletic. So, currently, I didn't even talked about that on a show yet. For some reason, I thought I did, but I should have released an episode around then. I guess I didn't. Obviously, the Hartford Whalers logo, NHL Network says, who is the first player you think of when you see this logo? Me, it's Pat Verbeek. A lot of people would probably say Gordie Howe, but I think of Gordie Howe with Detroit more than the Hartford Whalers. I think of Pat Verbeek. Derek Felska says, Jeff Sanderson. Yeah, yeah, hell of a player, and he went on with the Carolina Hurricanes as well, as did Coach, yep, I already talked about him in the was it a few episodes ago now? Yeah, Paul Maurice, awesome. I mean, he was the final coach of the Hartford Whalers. Do you realize that? He was the last coach of the Hartford Whalers way back in the mid-90s when they were still in Hartford, Connecticut. And you think, oh my God, he must be like 78 years old. No. he was like in his early 30s, late 20s when he was the coach of the Hartford Whalers. So that's why he's only like mid-50s. He's like 56, mid to upper 50s, I believe. Continuing, Derek says, the Olympics has 3-on-3 basketball, which Team USA seems to be clueless how to play. Do you think we see 3-on-3 hockey at the Winter Olympics someday or not? I'm going to say no. I think they'll stick to regular stuff. I think they'll stick to like regular 5-on-5 hockey. Dan responds with, I don't even like 3-on-3 in overtime. Messing with the way sports are supposed to be played is no good in my book. I tend to agree. Yep, I tend to agree. So, good one, Dan. Next poll, Derek Felska again. crease assist. Should the Minnesota Wild try to make a deal for Patrick Laine or not? Yeah, a lot of people were like, nope, and that did win. So, yeah, we'll make that quick here. Continuing, yep. Oh, yeah, I even put out a poll. This one was like a random thing. I was saying, what is the most annoying thing coworkers do when you're trying to have lunch? The four choices were endless phone calls, smacking lips while chewing, yep, videos out of the phone, and laughing constantly. So for some reason, laughing constantly got zero votes. That's funny, because I think that's freaking annoying. That wouldn't be my top choice necessarily. Videos out of the phone got first place, 57.5. And yes, that's effing annoying. Yes, you can. It's effing annoying. Second place, smacking lips while chewing. Yes, that's effing annoying too, 28.6. And endless phone calls. That's effing annoying. Yeah, everything is there. I mean, everything there is super annoying. But videos out of the phone, yes, I tend to agree with that. And that did win pretty strongly. Next, it's not the lightning round yet. That's still coming. These are kind of, you know, random posts during the course of the summer. And I want to personally apologize to Derek. I've been kind of out of sight, out of mind. And in the summer, it's kind of like that for me sometimes. Just lawns and then work. Lawns and work. Lawns and work. Oh, I got to do... you know, freedom of thought sometimes, you know, or this or that. But generally, I don't podcast a whole lot in the summer. So just because it's lawns, work, lawns, and then work, lawns, and then work. In the weekend, it's like, oh, I just want to relax, want to swim or ride my bike, swim, ride my bike, lawns, work, swim, ride my bike, swim, ride my bike. That's kind of how it is. So I kind of shut everything out, and I don't mean to be like that. So I apologize to some of you that were like, where's Brave the Wild? Where's Joey? That's kind of bull crap. So it's been that kind of summer. Anyhow, back to Derek. He says neither, what was I talking about? Oh, okay, this was about the, frustrations with the, at work. Derek says, neither I rarely ever have lunch at work, let alone share that time with coworkers. You know what? I wish I could say the same, brother. You have no idea how much I wish I could say the same, because I don't want to be around those. I don't really don't want to be around people much at all. Especially the younger generation who don't give a, you know, F word what you, how you feel. They'll just, you know, make all the noise in the world. Yeah, it's so annoying. Anyhow, I normally use lunch to get more work done so I don't have to bring any of those tasks home. If I had to choose, it would be the dope that chooses to microwave fish. Nasty. Yep, there's that too. Yes, there is. And it is nasty. So, yep. What was I saying on the NHL Network? Paul Maurice coaching the 99 Hurricanes. I couldn't believe it. It's like, did you realize he was 56 years old when Florida won the Cup this year? Yep. And there was the Frederick. Now I'm smacking my lips. I almost called him Frederick Goudreau again. What's wrong with me? I'm around Freddie Goudreau too much. I feel sad and I feel stupid. Johnny Goudreau. I was saying horrible news. This was late August. NHL forward Johnny Goudreau, brother Matthew Goudreau, passed away at 31 and 29 years old. Ooh, the wind's going crazy out there. But yes, it's obviously horrible news, and I did give him a moment of silence in the previous segments. I believe it was the first. Derek responds with absolutely horrifying. I can't even imagine being their parents and losing both of their sons like that. Yeah, and that was right before a wedding. You realize that? Their sister's wedding. Yeah, it's just, I know you've heard that probably a lot already. But it's still, you know, I haven't mentioned it yet on this show. It's, geez, man. Thoughts are with the Goudreau family, Columbus Blue Jackets, and their fans. Amen to that. There's the Utah Hockey Club's uniforms, not just jerseys, but the uniforms there. I think not bad. Thoughts, World Hockey Report. I was saying adequate, but looking forward to a real name and logo and mascots. Yes. Any response from anybody? No. Doggone it. And then the Minnesota Frost now. The Minnesota, that team, you know, the team that won the championship. Yes. PW Professional Women's Hockey League. Yes. They have a, because I'm getting mixed up with the other leagues that are around, like the Minnesota Whitecaps and all that. Well, they have a name, and it is the Frost. It is not the Superiors or Superior or whatever. It's the Frost. So, yeah. I was saying, I like the, yeah, I mentioned this when I was commenting towards crease and assist. I like the purple just because it's got that, oh my God, it's cold out. You know, how the sky can turn kind of purplish. It's got a purplish hue, like say on those uber cold nights in December, January, and February. You know, the really cold nights. So I like that. An F for a logo is effing disappointing. Yeah, that's your logo? That's it? It'd be like if the Wild just came out with a W in there. There you go. Rock on. Oh, kind of like, well, like the original logo was kind of like that when before they had a mascot logo, like a crest, an actual crest. It was just Wild. It was okay. That was actually still better than this. It's just an F. Like, is that the effing best you can do? The name's okay. It's, again, a lot of people do not like the singular names like Wild, Miami Heat, Orlando Magic, Minnesota, that team too. What was the other one that was going to be for the, were the Wild the only one for the choices? Because I remember the six choices, the finalists for the Wild, the Minnesota hockey team back in the day. Northern Lights, yeah, those are plural, White Bears, Voyageurs, whatever. Wild. Freeze. Yep, Freeze was the other one. Man, Freeze. You know, I think Frost is better than Freeze. Other people might disagree. Yeah, that was kind of lame. Yeah. And then the Blue Ox. I guess that's singular, too. Yeah. So it's three were singular and three were plural. I would have chosen Northern Lights. Yep, Derek did respond. He says, to this one. Kind of a meh logo and name, in my opinion. Well, Frost is probably a better name than the Minnesota Wild. It still could have been better. Yeah, man, at least the Wild did better with the logo, I think, the actual crest. It still could have been better. Still glad to be done with the generic PWHL Minnesota stuff. Yeah, it's stupid. Just like Utah's doing now with the hockey club. A lot of us are kind of irritated with that, too. I was saying initial thoughts coming into training camp. I'm a lot more excited about the possibilities of the prospects taking a step forward than hoping Marcus Foligno has a renaissance. Yeah, because I was getting sick of that. They were betting on some of these guys having a renaissance. It's like, oh. Yep, and Tom Hayen, yeah, he's saying exactly what I'm saying here. Tom Hayen says, or Freddie G, or Marjo, or Mojo, whatever. Or Hartman, or yeah, I feel you 100% there. Derek, a couple responses. I would be more excited about the possibility of what the prospects can do if they had a bit more cap space and potential potential roster spots for them to occupy. They have neither. So if a young prospect impresses at camp, they may not be able to even give them a chance. That's freaking dumb, isn't it? Isn't that freaking dumb? And I know Russo's annoyed as hell about it. Yeah, I hate it. Oh, well, we got Hartman. So, I mean, Hartman's okay. You know, he's fine. But, Jiminy, you know? Derek says, I know it can change, but I'm pretty lukewarm on reuniting 36-38 with 97. I thought 97 took off by beating Joe Corsi, you know. Yeah, I hope most of you know who these people are. Took off by being on a line with Eriksson Ek and Boldy. Well, I understand the idea of trying to spread out the scoring. It seems like a ploy to lift up two unproductive vets with our star. I think so, too. And to me, Ryan Hartman is a third-line center. Period. This is not parroting Russo, or it sure as heck isn't parroting Anthony LaPanta. He probably thinks Ryan Hartman's, he might as well be Dave Gagne. Yes, the comparison was there in terms of a first-round pick becoming more close to a first-round pick's, statistics, panning out. But Dave Gagne and Ryan Hartman, I think that's the end of the comparison right there. It's okay. He's a guy that got better later in his career. Next. Anyhow, yes, next tweet also, but before I babble too much here, because it's gonna be what it's gonna be. Usually these previews are about an hour and a half. I think last year was 94 minutes, so this one's probably gonna be about the same. Derek says Kaprizov is the Minnesota Wild's best player that this team needs to be able to resign. Yep, it should be more about what is best for 97 rather than have him try to reenact Weekend at Bernie's by propping up two well-paid veterans who can't generate offense without him. I like that. Yep, that's good. Von Lunster agrees. Yes, he says amen. Yep, I tend to agree with you, Von. Yes, I do. Yep, that's a good one. I agree with Derek. Yep, that's good there. Next. Okay, that was, I already read that. Going up, yep, and Tyler Ennis retired. It felt like he retired 14 years ago because he was injured every 10 minutes. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, but it gets annoying after a while, doesn't it? A lot like another smaller guy who is his friend. And where's the C? Anyhow, next. I was saying ready for the next Brave the Wild, blah, blah, blah. Yes, so yes, always hashtag it. Hashtag BTWMN. Hashtag BTWMN. That keeps everything organized. All I do is look up hashtag BTWMN, click on latest, and guess what? Everything is in chronological order. What a concept. I love it. So, let's get going. It's time for the Derek Felska Lightning Round, as it hath returned deada. Now, you can't tell me that you don't like the lightning, and obviously the lightning round, but you don't like the lightning sound effect. Of course you do, dang it. Derek, yep, sounds like me right here. I'm trying to get excited. Now, I'm excited just in terms of hockey being back. It's something to enjoy in the evenings, and at least they're not like, you know, at least they're not off of Comcast, whatever. Yes, I'm an old school person. Well, there's no other option really anyway, other than, of course, trying to stream the Bally app. But half the time that doesn't work. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And I can get into other rants about how Xfinity, Comcast, whatever the hell they're called. Yeah, boy, they're really helpful when you want to get those ESPN apps running. Oh, it's so helpful. It really is. Okay, sometimes. Anyhow, Derek, again, I'm trying to get excited. Spurgeon's back. So far, everyone but Boldy seems to be healthy and ready to go. Can Jakub Lako keep chipping in offensively from the third or fourth line? Early season road trip will tell us a lot about this team, in my opinion. Yes, because the Wild will open up with several road games. I believe it's 7 out of 9. So, yep. Going to be interesting. There's some responses. Morty, gotta love hearing from him. What spam? Okay. Yeah, one of them is a spam, yes. Why did I do that? Okay, well, it's not Morty, that's for sure. Morty's not spam, it's his other one is, yeah. Anyhow, I was like, what the hell? The fourth line is greatly improved, and Iowa has veterans and some young guns ready to come up as needed. This year should be more enjoyable to watch than wait until next year. Yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it, Morty. I think so. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be better, yes. That's why I have them making the postseason. You know, you don't get this vibe like, hell yeah, here we go. No, it's not like the Timberwolves right now, even though they made a weird trade. Well, not weird trade, unexpected trade. It's not weird. A lot of us were actually ready to trade Carl Anthony Towns away. But, you know, it was just unexpected. It was completely like, whoa. So it was like it was so, you know, close to training camp and everything that on media day they couldn't even talk about it. It's crazy because the trade hadn't been settled or consummated yet. Jay Bushy back on the show again. Always love hearing from Jay. Says, do we see any improvement in the penalty kill? I think that's an important part of any improvement this season. And I say that's for damn sure. I think overall health and consistency from the defense obviously should help. You have guys like Eck that are fantastic defensive forwards. I think Merritt Huznadinov could be on a second penalty kill unit for sure. Spurgeon should help one way or another. I don't look at Spurgeon like he's this... Like I don't see Spurgeon the way I did 4 or 5 years ago. I just don't. I can't. But, you know, just kind of like a car that you had that doesn't run as well as it used to for whatever reason. That's just a fact. So... But, yes, he's still an improvement over not having him, I guess. But, yeah, I know. It might sound really harsh to some people, but I don't know. I just... he will help with the penalty kill, yes. I think that. Obviously, Brock Faber being there with the Spurgeons, with the Brodeens, pardon me, you'll have a better overall penalty kill where maybe you don't see some of the, you know, not-so-good penalty killers out there like we did last year. Like, special teams were crowded last year, especially the penalty kill. It was historically bad. The lightning round continues. That'd be Derek, of course. Owner Craig Leopold said he will pay whatever it takes to keep 97 around. And that is imperative. It is imperative this team be a winner to convince him to stick with the club. If the team fails to make the playoffs, does Leopold's declaration make Hines and Guerin's seat hot? Yes. I think that's a pretty good possibility. I think it's a possibility. Maybe not immediate, but it would make it hot going into next year, I guess. Oh, that might sound kind of silly and weird, but something could happen during the season, depending on if it's like a putrid start, you could see something crazy happening. Yeah. It's like, put it this way, if like 10 is like, you're fired, get the f out of here, and 1 is like, he's our guy until, you know, for further notice, like, hell yeah, this is our group. I think right now they're on like 4, and if things start really poorly, they'll be closer to 6, working on 7, put it that way. Next, what is your predicted order of finish for the teams in the Central Division, including the Wild? Is there a Stanley Cup contender here or not? I think there's 2, unfortunately. Yeah, and it's not us. I don't like Dallas. I don't like Colorado, but I think they are Cup contenders, especially Dallas. I think the Wild finish... What was I saying before? I've mentioned it. What was I saying before? I think like 4th or 5th. Yes, like wild card, 4th or 5th. Because I think it's going to be like Dallas, Colorado, Nashville, and then Minnesota, Winnipeg, kind of, or Winnipeg, Minnesota. So 4th or 5th, but knocking on the door of the playoffs and not doing anything all too special. After that, Utah would be 6th, St. Louis 7th, and the Chicago Blackhawks are not going to be that much better yet. Though maybe the Blackhawks overtake the St. Louis Blues, and the Blues actually finish in last. Because I'm not a fan of the Blues right now, and I don't know. It's not because I hate them. It's just I don't think they're going to do much. I hate the Stars, and I'm picking them to possibly win the Cup this year. I'm not picking them to win the Cup, but they could, put it that way. Next, a Kickstarter just released Beyond Shadowgate. A true successor to the NES classic point-and-click adventure game. Yep, I remember Shadowgate itself. The Minnesota Wild are said to be wearing their retro reverse alternate jerseys a lot this season. Is this a sign there could be a brand color shift? It's possible. I know it's been brought up a few times. And then, of course, they denied it, or Russo, whatever, denied it. I mean, it wouldn't hurt anybody for them to do it. Heck, the logo Brave the Wild has that color shift. It's like anticipating it. And plus, I've always kind of thought this show is kind of like a closet North Stars show to go with the Minnesota Wild. Because I like to talk about the North Stars sometimes. In fact, I'd like to talk about the North Stars a lot, especially like during that whole COVID situation when there's nothing going on. I did a whole episode about the 81 North Stars. And man, did I enjoy that. That was around that, you know, was it May, June-ish? Right around something terrible happening around here. So, yeah, that. Yeah. It was a fun show to do, though. We'll put it that way. So... Because I saw the 81 North Stars on NHL Network. You know, I saw them getting beat by the Islanders. And then it's like, came to the conclusion as to, you know, many reasons. A, why they got to the final, combined with why they got destroyed in the final. Yeah, it's a good show, though. Yes, I would not mind the Wild going back to a North Stars look at all. I don't hate the Christmas colors like some of you out there. A lot of you don't like the Christmas color thing. I think the Christmas colors are totally fine, but... The North Star look is just overall better. It just is. And go ahead and do it, I'd say. I kind of hope it might be a sign, yes. So, hoping. Here we go. Too early prediction. Which player do you think will be the Minnesota Wild's most pleasant surprise? Who will be the biggest disappointment? Most pleasant surprise, biggest disappointment. Yeah. You know, I saw this earlier, too. And then I was like... Like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I thought I had some ideas, and then it's like I blank. Biggest surprise, well, most pleasant surprise last year was definitely Faber. Biggest disappointment was, I don't know, a lot of people. Foligno, probably. I don't know. Foligno, yuck. And even Hartman wasn't that great. Zuccarello wasn't that great. Most pleasant surprise, it's going to be Freddie Goudreau. No. Why am I thinking about somebody like a Damon Hunt suddenly emerging or Liam Ogren? So far, everybody's on Jakub Lauko's. You know, they're on him right now. Disappointment, but they, I mean, they're on that guy so far. Maybe Rossi taking a huge step forward. Disappointment. Somehow, I see somebody like a. Ah, man, you're going to... I'm afraid of fans hating on me. Or maybe this one, maybe like Declan Chrisom just isn't going to be much. He's going to take a step back. Isn't going to be as good as advertised. That could be the case. Pleasant surprise. Or like a Jakob Trenin just isn't much of anything. That's what I'm kind of afraid of happening. Maybe Declan Chrisom just isn't as much as people were expecting. And then a pleasant surprise could potentially be a Damon Hunt. Damon Hunt might end up being like a full-time NHLer to a point of like he's actually one of the better defensemen on the team. That's what I'm kind of leaning towards at the end of the day. That's what I'm kind of leaning towards. Otherwise, like Liam Ogren, I mean, man, I'd love to see that happen. Love to see him emerge. But I got a feeling Damon Hunt is on track for something pretty darn good here, pretty darn soon at the end of the day. That's my guess. Just a couple more, almost there. When I'm enjoying the hell out of this, by the way. So I'm not complaining, but if you could put 500 of them, I'd be like, let's do it. If you put four, I'd still appreciate the hell out of it. Even like four is pretty good, actually, but 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, love it too. Anyhow, Derek continues, says, the Utah Hockey Club announced fan-friendly pricing of concessions for their games this season, which includes $3 hot dogs. Okay. And it's funny how years ago the thought of $3 hot dogs was insanely expensive. Now it's insanely cheap. Tells you something. $3 hot dogs, soda, etc. Do you think it's time more professional sports do that instead of gouging fans just because? Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Like I remember the Dome Dog on Wednesday was only $1, but they weren't the best. I don't think they were that bad, but they did make you feel a little queasy sometimes. And it's not like I went to that many Twins games anyway, but yeah, the Dome Dog in the, you know, back in the day was only $1. That was a really good deal back in the, you know, the latter stages of the Metrodome. So that would be the later 2000s. Yes, I think that would be wonderful. The whole gouging thing is annoying as hell. Like, was it like $13 for like some mediocre lagered beer? Like, you know, like you could buy a single bottle or something of like a, you know, like a Coors Light, which I think is crap, by the way. Sorry, Coors. If they're a sponsor someday, that'd be great. You know, that'd be great. We'll appreciate you. But yeah, I'm not a fan of Coors Light. I'm just imagining. But imagine, like, see there, they probably charge you $9. It's just stupid, you know. So yes, I think it's too much. I understand everyone has to make money. I understand that. And hockey, of all things, needs to make money more than anybody else, actually. Because, like, when you're looking at people like Leon Draisaitl making $14 million a year, and it's like, holy bleep, that's a lot. And then you look at backup power forwards in the NBA are making, like, $16, $17 million a year. Backups. That would be, like, the equivalent of, like, a third liner in the NHL. You know what I mean? Like, a third liner. Like, I'm complaining about Ryan Hartman and Marcus Foligno making $4 million. In the NBA, they'd be making $17. You know, that's about the equivalent. So that's the funny part about all that. That got me going. Sorry. next one. If you had to offer someone a fantasy hockey or fantasy sports tip that has worked well for you that many are not aware of, what would it be? Oh, boy. Fantasy tip. I don't think I'm any kind of a genius. It's more of, you know, it's kind of like stocks, you know, buy low, sell high. I know that might be not, you know, earth-shattering information that I'm giving you, but I tend to look for value. You know, like, you just kind of pay attention to the waiver wire all the time. People make mistakes. They give up on someone too quick, and you just kind of sneak in. You creep in the night when nobody's paying attention, boop, and take the guy when nobody else is trying to claim him. And then, oh my, you just, you know, and then as the year progresses, you just got something. But also, like, say if it's an elite superstar player that might be hurt for a little while, you know, store him on the injured list, that type of thing. Obviously, you know, like, you store people on the, you know, maybe you sign them and store them on the injured list. Or certain players you have on your team, don't give up on them, you know, like that might be hurt for a little bit. Put them on the injured list and you can sign a suitable replacement and make a decision later. Maybe the replacement, again, is a value pick, a value signing, and they end up making your decision a little bit tougher. And that's kind of fun when that happens. Kind of like what guys do in the real sports sometimes. Like, oh, they're making this decision tough. This guy was a hell of an addition. Just kind of approach it like a thief in the night, in a way. You know, nobody's paying attention to that waiver wire. Keep a look at that damn thing, because you just never know. Like, it's crazy. Like, somebody like Jordan Love was cut a couple weeks ago. Like, why'd you do that? That's kind of weird. Like, you cut Jordan Love? Why? Like, it's not like he was out for the season. That was kind of dumb. So, somebody got lucky. I put in the claim with somebody else. One freaking waiver priority hire got him. But, hey, at least they tried, right? So, anyhow. Oh, yeah, I shared a poll. That was... No, that's not how I meant to do it. I'm sorry. I messed up that a little bit. Last thing from Derek. Who do you think the Wild will finish? Where do you think the Wild will finish in the Central Division? First or second? Third or fourth? Fifth or sixth? Seventh or eighth? So third or fourth, which is what I chose, basically fourth place, 48.6. Fifth or sixth finished second, 37.8. First or second? Wow. Finished 8.1. And seventh or eighth, 5.8. 4%. Yes. So anyhow, good poll. Thank you, Mr. Felska. And again, do check out that podcast. Major shout outs to a lot of people out there that, you know, this hockey community, really appreciate all of you. And don't be afraid to comment on the show. A lot of people are quiet lately, and it's probably because I've been away, haven't been interacting enough, and that doesn't help, and I apologize. But at least there's some interaction on this one, and I appreciate Derek very much for keeping those questions coming. Every single one of them, of course. Major shout-outs to Minnesota Wild Global, Scott Cavendish, David and Chance Kostak, David Abraham, Kathy Main, Chad Wolski. So many good players. So many good people on there, sorry. Minnesota Wild Nation, Patrick Turner, of course, M&W Young Guns, Pavel Bennett, and Justin Bakke. Just amazing dudes. Love you guys very much. Really proud to be a part of that. I know I'm kind of the third wheel. I don't do enough, and I should do a lot more. But I'm going to always give you huge shout-outs. And it's always that, you know, keeping an eye on those prospects. That's what's fun about it. I think I love that about hockey, is keeping an eye on some young guns out there that can, you know, take this team in a more positive direction, like a Yurov, like a Ogren, guys like that. So, yeah, really appreciate every one of them. With that said, I better skedoodle. I better call it a day. Really appreciate even each and every one of you for listening. Thank you so very much. Get your DraftKings app and, of course, BetterHelp if you need it. With that, again, hope you enjoy this platform with how things have been going. And share this show. Retweet it if you can. Tell your friends about the show. You know, so positive ratings on Apple Podcasts or Spotify are not only appreciated, I'm begging you for them, right? Not literally begging. No, I'm just kidding. It's just been, I don't know, it's been quiet in those algorithms for some reason. The show's doing fine, but the ratings just went dead. Like, nothing's happening, not positive or negative. Hopefully positive ones are coming, and really appreciate those of you that have in the past. With that said, have yourself a wonderful few days here, and we will talk regular season hockey on the next episode of Brave the Wild.